Good to hear somebody talking back to me this morning. This morning's message is entitled, Battling Loneliness. Has anyone here ever been alone? I mean, like by yourself somewhere, nobody else around. Anybody? Not sure. I think just about everybody has been alone, right? You've been somewhere, you've been by yourself. Now, has anyone here ever felt lonely? Probably most of you have felt lonely at some point. The feeling of being lonely may not have come at that same time when you were actually just totally alone with nobody else around. They're not necessarily one and the same thing. I was afraid to preach on loneliness this morning. I've thought about preaching about loneliness for quite a while. As a matter of fact, I looked back in my notes and I found some sermon preparation from 2003. I guess I was thinking about preaching on loneliness and I just wasn't sure how to tackle it. Because loneliness can be pretty overwhelming. What do I offer to someone who battles with loneliness? Loneliness is a compounding problem that requires compounding efforts to solve. It's not just a simple thing. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that bring about a sense or a feeling of loneliness. It can be the result of life situations, maybe moves that we make or moves that other people make away from us. The death of a friend or a family member or a spouse. A lot of things can add up to cause loneliness in our lives. So to be hopeful and to be realistic, we have to be aware of that. We have to know that there's a lot of issues that add up to create loneliness. God will be faithful to carry us through those times, those different issues that we have to deal with. But we should recognize that loneliness doesn't usually come upon us overnight, and it probably doesn't just go away overnight. I remember an experience of loneliness when I was a kid at summer camp. I was pretty quiet and shy as a kid. We had a 5-hour ride to summer camp in Central Florida. And my stomach would always begin to churn as we drew near to Lakewood Retreat. Didn't usually have anybody with me that was really a very good friend of mine. Grew up in a church where there wasn't anybody my age in the church. And I don't remember all the details of the incident, but Lakewood Retreat was on a lake, and at part of the lake, most of the cabins were down not too far from the lake. But then for the place where we'd go swimming in the lake, you had to go around the lake a ways, and so you walked through either a path through the trees, a number of paths that connected, or you could take the roads that went around and went to the other part of the lake. Well, on one particular afternoon, everyone left for swimming before I did. Everybody headed down to the place where we swam. I felt very lonely as I was walking alone. Not just because I was alone by myself. I actually don't mind being by myself, at least sometimes. But somehow I didn't feel very connected to anybody there at camp. Nobody waited for me. I didn't call out to anybody to come and to wait for me. So I felt lonely. Must have been rather painful because the memory sticks with me. And I even know there were some other times at camp when I felt lonely because I just didn't feel quite connected. Now, before you mothers swear off summer camp for your kids, let me say that I went to camp for 7 years in a row when I was a kid. And I did it not because my parents made me, but because I loved summer camp. I loved to go to camp. I had a lot of wonderful memories of Lakewood Retreat. So even though I experienced some lonely times, it was part of my growth. It's part of something that I went through. It was a good experience overall. So what is this loneliness? Well, let me say, first of all, that loneliness actually can be a gift. In Genesis 2:18, The Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. God understands that we need connection with other people. It's how He created us. He understands and He wants to provide for us just as He provided for Adam. He provided Eve for Adam. So God intends for us to connect with other people and to connect with Him. Loneliness lets us know there's a need there. It lets us know, I need some more connection. Might be connection with other people. And probably the one that we miss the most is it might be connection with God that we need. So in that sense, loneliness may be a gift in that it lets us know what our need is. The loneliness that I may feel when missing someone or wishing to be with others indicates that I still love and I want to be around those who are dear to me. It means I'm very much alive. It's a part of living in community. So in that sense, it can be a gift. Let's us know that we still want to be with those people. So loneliness could be defined simply as the state of being alone. And often, that's a positive experience. Wanting to be alone. Sometimes, especially introverts like myself, we may crave time alone to read, to hike, to daydream, to enjoy a solitary hobby, to pray, to recharge our batteries. We need those times of being alone. Jesus sought out times of being alone. It says He went to a lonely place to pray. So that could be the way we define loneliness. On the other hand, we may feel our loneliest when we're surrounded by people. Like when we sit down to eat alone in a restaurant. And everybody around us is eating with somebody else. Or when we look around at a social gathering. And everybody's talking to somebody. And there's nobody left to talk to me. Sometimes those are the places where we feel loneliness. So loneliness is actually, it's a state of mind. Loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, unwanted. People who are lonely often crave human contact. But their state of mind actually can make it more difficult to make those connections. And when I say it's a state of mind, it doesn't mean it's not based in reality, but it has a lot to do with how we feel and think. What we're experiencing. So one way to describe loneliness is that it is the feeling that it is solely up to me to take care of me because no one else will. When you think about that, when you think about a time when you're lonely, it's a time when you realize I'm alone. There's nobody else. Nobody else is really looking out for me or caring for me right now. It's pretty much up to me by myself. The feeling that it's solely up to me to take care of me because no one else will. And I think that some of us need a smaller and some of us need a larger circle of people who we feel care for us. But we all have this need. We need somebody to care for us. Some of us may find loneliness so painful that we convince ourselves and we convince others that we don't need anyone to care for us. Because if we admitted that, if we let that kind of get out, there'd be the pain of loneliness there. So we convince ourselves we don't need that. Sometimes people say that Christians shouldn't be lonely. After all, we have the friend who sticks closer than a brother. But Christians do experience loneliness. In Psalm 25, this is what David says. He says, "Turn to me, be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. I don't know where David was. He may have been fleeing from Saul out in the wilderness. But he was alone. And he felt alone. He was lonely. In his loneliness, he calls to God. He turns to God. So loneliness is a battle for Christians, not just other people. And this morning, that's the title of the message, Battling Loneliness. And I say that because it's not something that just always goes away. Sometimes we have to fight against it. We have to battle it. Well, how do we do that? What I'd like to do this morning is look at the life of a man in the Bible who, it doesn't say explicitly in the Bible, experienced loneliness, but when we look at what happens in his life, you know that he had some pretty lonely times in his life when he felt lonely. So we're going to take a look this morning at Joseph in Genesis. So turn with me to Genesis 37. Most of you know the story well of Joseph. We're not going to read the whole thing, but we'll read some parts of it. Joseph experienced loneliness, and there were some reasons for it. Remember, we said there's a lot of reasons that can add up to create loneliness. So we are going to read here the first 11 verses of chapter 37 in Genesis. It says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. So all this coming up is the account of Jacob, but we mostly hear about Joseph here. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And let me say, it was the first son of his favorite wife, Rebekah, too. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, and your sheaves gathered around and they bowed down to me, to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. And he told his brothers, "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Well, Joseph was the favored, probably spoiled, brash, cocky, self-centered, next to the youngest of 12 boys. They were 12 boys from one father and four mothers. I think I said Rebecca before. Rachel and Leah were the wives. Rachel was Jacob's favored wife. She was the one that he really wanted to marry. And then Rachel and Leah each gave their handmaidens to Jacob so that they could claim having more children with him than the other. And so Joseph was Rachel's oldest son. She had another son, Benjamin, and she died in childbirth when Benjamin was born. Now all that sounds like a real setup for a lot of dysfunction in that family. And it was true, there was. Joseph was alienated from his brothers. That was one of the first reasons that Joseph experienced loneliness, was that alienation. He was alienated from others. In particular here, his brothers. I don't know how aware young Joseph was, but it must have been kind of lonely being hated by all of your brothers. He probably never really realized quite how deeply that hatred ran until one day he was way out in the fields with his brothers. You remember the story. His father sent him out to find his brothers, and when he found them, they were so full of hate that they stripped him of his beautiful coat, threw him in a cistern. Must have felt pretty alienated once he got over some of his anger. I can hear him screaming angrily to his brothers to get him out. But when he finally gave up and maybe sat down and turned inward a little bit, I imagine the alienation caused a lot of loneliness as he sat there in that pit, not really knowing what was going to happen. Joseph was lonely due to the alienation from his family. A lot of people experience alienation from family, from friends, from people who should care for you. Sometimes it's their fault, sometimes it's our fault. Usually it's a joint sort of venture that brings about that alienation. That alienation can bring on loneliness, because those people are to care for us, we're to care for them. Well, imagine Joseph now. His brothers got another idea. Instead of actually killing Joseph, they decide to sell him to slave traders. So imagine Joseph now walking through the desert in chains with other captives towards Egypt. He must be thinking, surely my brothers will reconsider and they'll come after these slave traders and get me back. Surely when Dad hears about it, he'll come and find me. But the days passed. He journeyed to Egypt. They arrived in Egypt, and nobody came. Nobody came looking for Joseph. Nobody came to find him. I imagine that pretty soon Joseph decided that nobody really cares for me. And so his loneliness comes out of this feeling that nobody cares about him. He's off on his own. But that wasn't the last time that the loneliness was driven deeper into Joseph. You know from the story that in Egypt, Joseph was sold to a man named Potiphar. And he actually gained favor in Potiphar's household. He gained such favor that Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. He was so completely at home there that nothing was off limits to David, to Joseph, except for Potiphar's wife. Nothing else was off limits to him. Let's read it in chapter 39, starting at verse 7. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in the house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house. When he saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and he ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until her master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave that you bought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story that his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Imagine the heartbreak, the loneliness, as everything's torn away from Joseph again. I can imagine him sitting in prison thinking, "Nobody really cares for me." But again, in prison, Joseph prospers and all the prisoners are placed under Joseph's care. He even interprets dreams for the king's cupbearer and his baker. And he foretells that the cupbearer will soon be freed from prison. And when he tells this to the cupbearer, this is what he says. He says, "But when all goes well with you," in chapter 40, verse 14, "remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of prison." So when the cupbearer gets out of prison, Joseph waits to hear some good news. And he waits. And he waits. And he waits. He hears nothing. It says in verse 23, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. After 2 years, I'm guessing maybe Joseph might have about given up hope. It's another reason for loneliness when we have no hope. There's no hope there. We can make it through a lot of things if we just have hope that things will get better. But sometimes that's pretty hard to see, and I think it was probably pretty hard for Joseph to see at this point. He'd been forgotten by everyone, even those that he had done well for. Well, you know the rest of the story. The cupbearer finally did remember Joseph, mentioned him to the Pharaoh when Pharaoh had a dream. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh saw that he was wise, made him ruler, second to none in the kingdom, except for himself. And we know that eventually Joseph's brothers came to Egypt in search of food, and Joseph was reunited with his family. But Joseph went through some pretty lonely times before he got to that place. What I want to look at now this morning is, how did Joseph battle that loneliness? How did he deal with it through all those years? I'd like you to imagine for a minute the desire for intimacy that Joseph would have had in his loneliness. The seduction of Potiphar's wife would have been pretty tempting as he was in loneliness. But Joseph maintained his integrity there. It's one of the ways that he battled loneliness. Joseph maintained his integrity. When we're lonely, there's a temptation to fall into unwise or even immoral relationships. People do that when they're lonely. They want so much for somebody to care for them. Or we hold others responsible for our loneliness. We blame other people. We treat others poorly because of our own pain of loneliness sometimes. We've all met people like that. Perhaps we've been people like that sometimes. In our own loneliness, we strike out at others. Well, Joseph battled loneliness by maintaining his integrity. It says in Genesis 39:9, as he answers Potiphar's wife, he says, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Potiphar said, "I cannot do this. This is wrong." And really the strength of his integrity was in his relationship with God. He says, "How can I sin against God?" And so evidently, Joseph was maintaining his relationship with God. That's how he maintained his integrity. He maintained his relationship with God. I'm sure that Joseph poured out his heart to God, just as David did in Psalm 25. In his loneliness, he kept his eyes on God. That's how he battled it. In each stage of Joseph's life, God was with him. He prospered him, it says. Some of the words that are used here in Genesis is, God prospered him. He showed him kindness. He granted him favor in Potiphar's house, in the prison, as a ruler in Egypt. God favored him. But while that's all attributed to God, it didn't come about without Joseph's cooperation. In situations when Joseph could have been filled with self-pity and done only the bare minimum required, he put himself fully into his work and he served others well. It happened in Potiphar's house. It happened when he was put in prison. And it happened when he was a ruler in Egypt. He found meaningful work and he reached out beyond his own circumstances. It's part of what he did to battle loneliness. He reached out to others. He found meaningful work. One of the most powerful things that we can do to battle loneliness is to reach out to others. One of the best things we can do when we're feeling lonely in a crowd, find somebody else that you think might be lonely and reach out to them. It often seems counterintuitive, but it's the most likely way to experience care from others is when we care for them. So Joseph battled loneliness this way. The other thing that Joseph did is he forgave those who wronged him. You know, Joseph could have maintained this alienation with his family. He could have spent his days complaining. And everything that he would have said would have been true. They did him wrong. But he escaped the bitterness because he placed his life in God's hands and he was trusting God. And so instead of maintaining that bitterness, he released it to God and he forgave his family. He did everything that he could to restore, when his brothers showed up, that relationship with his brothers. It was painful. It says in Genesis that Joseph, after he met his brothers, went back into his own room and he cried bitterly. The whole household could hear him. but he forgave his brothers. He helped to bring about the reconciliation in that relationship. It's interesting to me in Genesis 41:51. When Joseph has a son, it says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, and he said, it's because God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household. I wondered a little bit, what did that mean? Did he just forget about his family? I think it simply means that all those troubles from the past were overcome by the blessing that he finally experienced there in Egypt. And with his first son, he finally had family. I don't think he really forgot his family. It's just that blessing of having a son kind of overwhelmed some of that pain, lessened some of the pain. But when his brothers show up, it's clear he still needed that connection. He still desired that connection. And he forgave his brothers. He forgave those who had wronged him, brought about reconciliation. Like Joseph, I'm sure there's people here today who are alienated from others, whether it's family or friends. Some of you may feel like there's no one that cares or not enough people that really care. Some of you may be losing hope right now. I want to encourage you to battle the loneliness as Joseph did. It's not easily done. And there's more I'd like to say about loneliness, and I'll do that next week. But what I encourage you this morning with is to battle that loneliness. Maintain your integrity. Maintain your relationship with God. Find a way to reach out to others and ask God to help you forgive the ones that have wronged you. Battle that loneliness. There's a lot more to say about how do we help each other? How do we minister to one another? There may be somebody sitting next to you this morning who is lonely. You might not know it. Sometimes it's sort of a chronic thing in our lives. Sometimes it's something we experience in moments, in different places here and there. But I believe there's hope, just like there was hope for Joseph. There's hope for us. I believe that while we may battle loneliness and it doesn't just go away right away, I believe we can be victorious in that. I believe Joseph was victorious over the loneliness that he felt. So I'd like to ask the worship team to come up this morning. They're going to lead us in the song, Your Grace is Enough. We call out to God just as David did, just as I know that Joseph did. We call out to God when we experience loneliness. So I'd like to ask you to stand. If you want to come up to the altar this morning, you can do that. If you come up on this side, you just come up on this side if you'd like somebody to pray for you. Most of all, I'd like to remind you, as Randy talked about, our Savior this morning. One of the problems with loneliness, one of the things that causes loneliness, is a disconnection with God. And it's through Jesus that we're connected with God. He's the one that we need the most. So if you don't know Him as your Savior, I encourage you to come and talk to me this morning. Come and talk with me. Let's pray. Lord, we experience loneliness in our lives. Sometimes it's just here and there. Maybe at a time when we're missing someone, or we're in a group where we don't really know anyone. But at other stages in our lives, Lord, it's a chronic feeling of loneliness. And so, Lord, I want to pray for each one here this morning, and particularly for those who may be struggling with loneliness right now. Lord, I ask that you would meet them in their loneliness, that you would meet their need. Father, I ask that you would open the eyes of each one of us for those around us who are experiencing loneliness. Father, show us how to care for one another. And Father, I ask that you would strengthen and encourage each one to be able to overcome, to be victorious over that loneliness in their lives. Lord, most of all, we know that you care for us. You never leave us alone. So thank you for your care. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.